Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having a blessed Wednesday today. A lot of stuff going on as always. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, doing absolutely wonderful. I mean, God is good. It's hotter than blue blazes for May down here already. I mean, the humidity levels are through the roof. I'm not used to that for basically May, first part of the May, so it's been interesting. But I've got an article I want to read to you guys, and it's from the Last American Vagabond. I'm not familiar with the website, so if it's not a good one, don't get mad at me. But it's a pretty good, interesting writing. And he said a few things on here. The way he said it, I really liked it. He goes, and he's talking about how people can't think anymore. Now, remember, we've got to step away before I start this article, and I need to say one other thing. The reason people can't think is because of the alpha brain waves and theta wave waves from the TV sets, from the brain entrainment of the iPhone gadgets, from the brain entrainment of the aspartame, from the brain damage of the statin drugs, from the brain damage of the fluoride, the brain damage of the immunizations. This is a whole program, a whole protocol that they've done to dumb us down, putting us on fluoride 2 years after they found out about what fluoride did in the concentration camps in Germany. This has been going on now for 60, 70 years, this constant dumbing down of America, including reducing the amount of testosterone that men have, which give them clarity of thought and purpose by using different types of estrogen compounds in the food supply. Yes, it is that insidious, and yes, it has been planned now for over 50 years. They've been doing this to us until we now have a generation of people, especially the youngsters, the kids in high school that have been raised in politically correct environments that simply can't think. And that's what this article's about. And he goes on, he starts off the article by saying, thinking is hard. The horror of the deep state's plan is exposed. Now, he said this very well, so I'm going to kind of read it slowly so you can pick this up. I'm constantly amazed by the ability of those in power to create a narrative trusted by a gullible, non-critical thinking populace, appealing to emotions, when you have millions of functionally illiterate, normalcy bias ensnared, iGadget distracted, disciples of the status quo. This has been the plan of the deep state for the last century. Americans don't want to think because thinking is hard. They would rather feel. For decades, the government-controlled public education system has performed a mass lobotomy on their hapless matriculates, students, removing their ability to think and replacing it with feelings, fabricated dogma, and social indoctrination such as gay rights. I just added that. Their minds of mush have been molded to acquiesce to the narrative propagandized by their government keepers. The problem isn't that Johnny can't read. The problem isn't even that Johnny can't think. The problem is that Johnny doesn't know what thinking is, and he confuses it with feeling. That's a quote by Thomas Sowell. With the majority confused, distracted, malleable, willfully ignorant, and easily manipulated by false narratives, heart-wrenching images, and fake news, the deep state henchmen have been able to control the masses with relative ease. The unanticipated rise of Donald Trump to the most powerful role in the world gave many critical thinking, anti-big government, skeptical curmudgeons hope that he could drain the swamp and begin to deconstruct a massive out-of-control federal bureaucracy. His rhetoric during the campaign about repealing the disastrous Obamacare abortion, cutting taxes, dismantling federal regulatory red tape, making Mexico pay for the wall, dumping Yellen, favoring higher interest rates, and not interfering militarily in countries who are not threatening the United States appeal to many libertarian-minded people. I've watched with disgust over the last several months as the promises of this non-interventionism by a presidential candidate have been broken by the third consecutive president. George W. Bush promised a humble foreign policy with no nation building. He had criticized the Clinton-Gore administration for being too interventionists. If we don't stop extending our troops all around the world into nation-building missions, then we're going to have serious problems coming all down the road, and I'm going to prevent that, as a quote from George Bush. With 9/11 as a convenient excuse, he invaded sovereign countries based on flawed data, passed the Fourth Amendment Destroying Patriot Act, allowed neoconservatives to create an Orwellian surveillance state, and permitted the military-industrial complex to regain its power and control over the political apparatus in D.C., With no Cold War to fill their coffers, neocons in Congress, warmongering think tank co-conspirators, military brass, and their arms dealer cronies needed to create a new war to keep the racket going. The war on terror is unwinnable because you can't defeat a tactic. And this is what the deep state is counting on, an unwinnable war, just like the war on drugs, just like the war on poverty, just like the war on cancer, results in never-ending funding, no evaluation of success or failure, continuous propaganda designating new enemies whenever convenient, and narrative questioning of patriotism of anyone who argues against foreign policy intervention. And he goes on to quote Smedley Butler, and he goes on to quote General Dwight D. Eisenhower, and then he finally summarizes the entire article by saying, the warnings from men of stature, integrity, and nobility like Smedley Butler, Dwight Eisenhower, and Ron Paul have been unheeded by an increasingly dumbed down, iGadget absorbed, intellectually lazy, willfully ignorant, emotionally stunted populace. They question nothing. They believe whatever the boob tube tells them to believe. Their extreme level of normalcy bias allows the deep state to maintain control and become outrageously bold in their lives. Misinformation and ability to convince the masses of the most ridiculous narratives. Only one voice in the wilderness remains. Speaking truth to power only creates change if an educated populace says they've had enough. He goes on to say, how did the American people ever reach a point where they believe that U.S. aggression in the Middle East will make us safe when the exact opposite is true? How did the American people ever reach the point where they believe that fighting unconstitutional wars is required to protect our freedoms and the Constitution? Why do we allow the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, the TSA, etc., to destroy our liberty at home as part of the global war on terror with a pretext that they are preserving our liberty? One of the best written articles that I've read on this in a long, long time. Austin, what do you think?
Wow, that was incredible. He pretty much called it out as far as the entire agenda that's going on. That's pretty intense, man.
Well, I mean, when you throw in what we know from the pharmakia, from what the Bible says is going to happen with the use of pharmaceutical drugs and these spellbinding drugs they use and putting people in these trances, it all begins to make more and more sense. And he summed it up in a nice little neat package. The only thing he didn't add to that were the GMOs, the fluoride, the statins, the immunizations, and all the things that we talk about so much on this show, because those are other items that we're mentioning now, the nutritional part, the drug part, these are the ones that cause people to be in that stupor all of the time. I know, interestingly enough, that a lot of people don't realize how addictive the dietary products are on the market, such as dietary Red Bull and dietary sodas, because what ends up happening is when you stimulate your body over and over again with huge amounts of caffeine, you start feeling only normal when you stimulate your body with huge amounts of caffeine. I've had so many of my pastor friends, they've gotten themselves addicted to diet sodas, to aspartame, to caffeine, to Red Bull. Some of them have actually moved to different types of methamphetamines, such as Ritalin or Adderall, which is a type of methamphetamine, which is called methylphenidate. Let me make sure I make that very clear. So it's something that we need to be very careful with when we start taking stimulants and we start affecting our consciousness. And here's why. Because you don't want to be in a situation where you don't feel normal without being stimulated. You don't want to be in a situation where you feel so horrible without stimulants, all you want to do is sleep all the time because you've exhausted your adrenal glands. Guys, I'm going to say this to everybody listening very clearly, as possibly as clear as I can. The Bible says that it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And guys, that's what we have to do. We have to continue to work through the spirit to get things changed. Now, I'm with the rest of you guys. I'm completely and totally disappointed in what Donald Trump has done. He is obviously, according to Gerald Celente and according to Robert Steele and according to so many other authors, completely capitulated to the deep state. Sadly, he was in over his head with this whole deal. And they're turning him any which way they want to turn him, simply through bad publicity, because remember, Trump is a publicity hound. He wants to make sure his brand image, his branding, stays strong when he gets out of the White House, because now he'll be an ex-president of the United States, and he wants to leave there on good terms, and he certainly doesn't want to get impeached. he's got himself into a very bad situation, and he's simply not doing what he told us he was going to do, either because they've threatened him or he's been compromised in some other way. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I think there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we're not even seeing. Back to Monsanto, though, you'd mentioned that a minute ago. Monsanto, now it has come out that they hired an entire group of internet trolls to combat negative perceptions on their brand on social media, according to a lawsuit filed by U.S. Right to Know. This is wild. This goes right back to what we've told you guys as far as the internet trolls and these guys trying to do everything they can to control the social media and the news narrative. What happened is the allegations come amid 50 different lawsuits filed in the U.S. District Court in San Francisco that are claiming exposure to Roundup caused them or their loved ones to develop non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We already know that. It caused a plethora of other things, but this is definitely one of them, and that Monsanto blatantly covered up the risk. In a court document dated April 24th, the plaintiff's attorney accused Monsanto of operating a program titled Let Nothing Go, directly from Monsanto. This program intended to, and I quote, leave nothing, not even Facebook comments, unanswered. Through a series of third parties, it employs individuals who appear to have no connection to the industry, but in turn work directly for Monsanto, who in turn post positive comments on news articles and Facebook posts defending Monsanto, its chemicals, and all GMOs. According to this document, this alleged program was revealed in the deposition of David Hearing, who worked in Monsanto's U.S. Technology Developmental Department. The document also alleges that Monsanto hired think tanks to spread information favoring the company. They said Monsanto quietly funneled tons of money to think tankers such as Genetic Literacy Program and American Council on Scientific Health, intended to shame scientists and highlight information helpful to Monsanto and other chemical products. This is crazy because we know that, I mean, we already know that Monsanto has a huge hand. They're like another tentacle squid reaching out, the whole food industry, the entire government, everything. But this goes to show you, when you start seeing this stuff online, that it's not just whatever you think it is. These guys are paid trolls from Monsanto pushing the Monsanto GMO glyphosate death narrative in a positive light to try and make everybody look foolish and stupid if they question the GMO narrative. I'm glad this came out in court, Dad. I really hope more and more people see this and realize, here's the thing you got to look at. You don't have to hire hundreds of trolls to go on social media and defend comments if you don't have thousands of negative comments because your product is so stinking toxic. You don't have to hire hundreds of trolls to go on there and try and make everybody look foolish that brings to light the truth about your products if your products aren't incredibly toxic. You don't have to do stuff like that. This right here should be a giant red flag to anybody that's even concerned about that, that wants the truth about Monsanto and glyphosate, that this is exactly what they have to do to try and keep the truth suppressed, Dad. But I'm really glad this came out in the deposition of these lawsuits.
Well, it doesn't surprise anybody, Austin. I mean, this is what they do. This is the whole thing. The whole thing's set up, basically. The Bible says that the devil comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And it also says he's a liar.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and gosh, enough said. Rob, kill, steal, and destroy, and they're a bunch of liars. They know their product's toxic. Their own internal documents received through the Freedom of Information Act by Gary Null, and the information he wrote on an entire article on this shows like 20 different types of cancers which are being caused by their products, and they knew that back in the 70s, and they didn't care. They proceeded to market the product globally because they didn't care, because the margins were so high on it. Because remember, they can take a product like this and they can manufacture it in a laboratory, and they can make it literally for pennies for a gallon. Pennies. Okay, and they can sell it, this super concentrated product, they can dilute it and sell hundreds of gallons of it, you know, for tens of thousands of dollars. That's how they do this. I mean, so they're literally got pennies in for tens of thousands of dollars in profit, and everything else is just marketing and distribution expenses. That's how this stuff works. And then pretty soon, they start diluting it more and more and more, and more and more stores carry it, and then they pretty much give you the Roundup Ready spray, and now they're making incredibly huge amounts of profit on it. And this is what they've been doing now for decades in the United States. And that's why so many wells and aquifers and areas of the country are completely contaminated with both atrazine and with glyphosate, and not even to mention Agilox or Basagran or all the other ones that are being used for controlling crabgrass and all the selective herbicides that are out there. I mean, there's so many products that are out there that are just damaging to the environment. I used to do this years ago, 25 years ago. I used to try to maintain a healthy yard, and I remember we had a neighbor. His name was Warren Brown. He's dead now. May he rest in peace. And his wife's name was Gertie, and may she also rest in peace. And they were good people. And I remember one day I'm over there and I'm fighting the weeds and I'm pulling weeds up, and I go over to their yard and it's just all weeds. And he goes, I said, what are you doing? You don't care about your yard? And he goes, no, I don't care. He goes, the weeds won. I said, what do you mean the weeds won? He said, look at the yard, the weeds won. He goes, my yard used to be perfect, like your yard. He goes, and eventually you begin to realize that you just get tired of putting all these chemicals on the grass. You get tired of putting all this fertilizer on the grass. You get tired of trying to make this perfect yard look perfect all of the time, especially with all the water restrictions we have. And he goes, I don't care anymore. And I thought, well, okay. But I kept pushing it for another 5 or 10 years. I kept trying to keep the yard perfect, yard perfect. Finally, I moved, tried to keep it perfect in the new place. Finally, about 10 years ago, I finally said, you know what? I'm done. I'm with Warren now. The weeds won. I don't care. I haven't fertilized my yard. I don't know when, and I don't care anymore, and it's pretty much all weeds, and I don't care. Why? Because it's green. It's only a weed when you don't want it there. Otherwise, it's a plant. That's my dad used to always say. And yeah, my dad was a farmer. That's what he used to always say. And he says, Ted, he goes, it doesn't make any difference. He says, just forget about it. I'm like, you're right. And so that's how I look at it all now. I'm not going to poison my own environment, my children's environment, my grandchildren's environment by poisoning the soil, poisoning the lakes, poisoning the aquifer, because I want to have a pretty yard. The heck with the yard. The weeds won. They're green. Who cares? What do you think, son?
The weeds won with me a long time ago. I grew up when you were trying to keep the yard perfect all the time, and I saw how much maintenance it took and how much work it took to try and keep St. Augustine weed-free and pretty and green and perfect all the time. And in my house, I mean, we have sprinklers that run, but I mean, I got Bahia and stuff in it. That's it. Bahia can have fun. You can't hardly kill that stuff, even with glyphosate. It hardly even dies. So it works fine, has water, looks green. That's the extent of it. But I'm absolutely with that. There's no reason to be using these toxic chemicals like this on all your grass, and especially the food we eat. And see, that's the other side note that nobody wants to talk about with Monsanto. You know, everything's, oh, well, GMO helps to yield more, which is a lie. Oh, GMOs help to be more resistant to bugs, pests, all this other stuff. That's a lie. They're seeing the super bugs as far as being able to take a lot of the stuff out. The super weeds are out of control. What it all comes down to is this stuff getting in the human being food supply on a mainstream level, and they've done an incredibly good job at that. These guys at Monsanto knew this stuff was toxic. There's already been dozens of research articles that have come out and shown this stuff is incredibly toxic. There's people that have come out and said, yes, we're scientists. Monsanto paid us money to come out with a positive review that it didn't have any negative side effects in a research study. Yes, we went in and falsified this. Yes, we went in and looked at it and saw it was incredibly toxic, but we skewed the research. All that stuff's on the internet. You can look all that up now, yet Monsanto still is a multi-billion. Same with Dow, same with Syngenta, same with all of them. It's just Monsanto's always the top of the list because they love peddling this stuff to every area of the world to get all these plants hooked on it so they can't function unless they have their GMO patented seeds that they have to buy from them every single year. It's all about food control and poisoning the population. Remember, every single time there's a war, a dictator, some type of significant confrontation, food is one of the primary tools that is used against the people. If you can control the food, you can control the populace. And as you see, Monsanto and the globalists are getting a very, very strong handle on that right now.
Absolutely. Always remember, I'm going to mention this to you again, Bayer bought Monsanto.
Yes.
It was, the whole deal was put together by the Rothschild group. I mean, that's just public knowledge. I mean, the Rothschilds, but I mean, they're not even trying to hide it. Okay? I mean, gosh. Yeah. By the way, the new U.S. federal budget has no money for the wall for Trump, but it has plenty for Planned Parenthood. We covered this yesterday. Yep. And this is an interesting article here. And, again, there's by E. Edward Griffin. And it says, Donald Trump's campaign promises are fading from the minds of the Republican leaders who supported him and now control both House and Senate. The budget actually prohibits Trump's border wall, prohibits it, and fails to cut funding to the EPA. It provides funding for Planned Parenthood, sanctuary cities, and Obamacare subsidies. Trump asked for and received $21 billion in funding for the military. In other words, the election made no difference whatsoever. so ever. The bipartisan agenda continues as before. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, the only true light that I can say about it, and I've said this numerous times and I still stick with it, is that at least from we've seen, you know, anything was better than the Satanist, the blatantly known open Satanist, Hillary Clinton, from being in the White House. At least we have somebody in there that I think has at least some moderate morals and ethics and does have some type of Christian background to an extent. Like I said, I don't know everything about Trump, but we knew exactly how Hillary Clinton was. And, you know, a lot of stuff where we said when he got elected, if the chemtrails stop, we're going to know exactly what's going on. They never stop. Military-industrial complex never quit it. The CIA still in full-fledged power. So it is what it is. The biggest thing we can do is what we can do on a local level. This is what I tell everybody. Don't support companies like Monsanto or Bayer or all this stuff. Don't buy glyphosate. Buy local organic. Don't give in to this digital currency. Try and pay stuff with cash. Don't go out and get vaccinated. Do your own research on it. These are things that you can do from a local level and then start informing and teaching other people about the stuff you learn, about how staying in shape, eating healthy, taking right supplements, being able to stay out of the pharmaceutical industrial complex and the hospital industrial complex is always a positive thing. We don't have to go that route. Teaching people these things is one of the best things we can do, because if we can spread this knowledge and wake more people up about not drinking fluoride and not eating GMOs and not getting vaccinated and learning all this stuff, that's going to be one of the biggest things we can do, because we have a humongous population in the United States. We still have a very smart population in the United States, even though a lot of them have been dumbed down from a lot of the chemicals and toxins and fluoride and all that. I still believe we have a very, very awake population that just needs a spark to wake up. And if they can start doing that, it doesn't matter who the president is. If the United States population together in unison and aggregate says, no, we're not going to deal with this anymore, there's not a whole lot the globalists can do about it. But right now, we're still too choppy. A lot of people don't want to wake up. So everybody has to stop being so scared of being politically correct. And you have to voice your opinion and talk about it. And I don't mean you have to be one of those obnoxious people with a megaphone on the sidewalk, hacking everybody off as they walk and drive by. Talking to your friends, family, locals, people you run in contact to. See what they're about. See what they think. A lot of times you can talk to somebody and bring something up just in a mild manner, and it'll spark. You'll see it and be like, oh, really? What about this? And you start talking about it, and they go, oh, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And it goes from there. Stuff like that can make a huge difference in trying to keep the patriot, constitutional, Christian community alive, awake, and growing in the United States. And that's what we have to do on a local level, Deb.
I agree. The other day I had a friend of mine over, and his father, I became a Christian about 3 years ago. And in fact, I personally led him to the Lord and prayed the sinner's prayer with him. And he's from Germany. And his son has been a Christian now for 4 or 5 years. And his son came down, and his son's older, and he's basically been spoken pot a lot when he was young. So he's relatively immature from a brain standpoint. And his son started yelling at his dad about Christianity. And I'm looking at him and I said, well, don't you know your father prayed the sinner's prayer? Your father's a born again Christian. He goes, well, I didn't know that. And I said, well, did you ask him? And he goes, well, no. And I said, here's the deal, buddy. I said, you know, you come walking up here with a water hose, or not even a water hose, a fire hose, you know, with a full hydrant pressure behind it, you know, pumping out, you know, 500 gallons a minute. You try to cram this nozzle down his throat and turn that thing on. I said, dude, I said, your dad got saved when he was like 60 years old. I said, I've led him to the Lord, and I've helped him with his Christian walk for the past, you know, 3 years. And I said, you just can't whip a U-turn with somebody who's been older and who's been not saved and who's been living in the world their whole life. You've got to gradually lead them in the way they should go and teach them the ways of the Lord. And I said, and that's the easiest way to do it, by doing it little by little and not trying to do the water hose thing. And he goes, well, he's doing this. I said, no. I said, you need to chill out. It's what you need to do. I said, I was the same way when I first got saved. I said, when you try to force feed Christianity down people's throats, they don't want to hear it. Now, I've never done that with you guys on the show. Not one time. Not once. Now, I'll talk about being a Christian, and I'll talk about the power that you get when you're a Christian. I'll tell you how you're linked to God and His dimension through the Holy Spirit when you're a Christian. I talk about how they have no authority or power over you when you're a Christian, but I never said, you have to get saved right now, you've got to pray with me. I don't do that. And the reason for that is when you try to force people to do things they don't want because of your convictions, it's not their convictions. The same thing is true also with the Patriot movement. When we talk to people about what's going on, you know, geoengineering is a really good place to start. You know, do you see that stuff getting sprayed on us up there? Well, that's just a jet trail. I said, nah, it's not. It's called geoengineering. And I've run a few tests on that, and I've got a couple of tests that I can show you. That's the water, the air, the quality is bad. I said the rainwater is full of barium and aluminum. And by the way, if you want those tests, they're posted on my website, and they're to you for you. You can probably download them for free. And I said, I paid for these tests. And I said, and this is just what this is. And they go, really? I said, yeah. I said, if you want, I'll send you a couple of links to it. If you got a text, I can text you a few little information on it. And then I'll text them two or three things. And if they text me back and they go, well, wow, do you have any more stuff on that? I'm going, yeah, I'll send you some more stuff. And then I'll text them some more stuff. And I'll say, well, if you want, I can put you on a newsletter. Okay, I'd love to have that. Or, no, I'm not really interested in that much. I've heard both. See, that's how you do this. Because if you get in somebody's face and you start screaming at them about vaccines and their kids, they're just going to get mad at you. That's all they're going to do. But if you ask them, have you thought about any side effects associated with vaccines? And they go, well, you know, I really not thought about that. I thought they were safe. Well, yeah, I got a movie I can send you. It's called Vaxxed, $10. You're a friend of mine. I'll give it to you. Would you watch it if I sent it to you? You always ask them, will you watch it? And then when you send it to them, you follow up, have you watched this yet? You told me you'd watch it. And then you get them to think, well, yeah, that was interesting. Have you got any more information on that? And see, guys, if you do it that way and you don't try to force feed this stuff on people, I mean, guys, listen to me for a second. You know, you guys, because you've listened to this show now for years, some of you, you're wide awake. I mean, I can't make you any more awake. I can't tell you any more stuff. I mean, I've told you pretty much everything from Christian TV evangelists to political candidates. So there's not a whole lot you haven't been told from inside sources that I have, from places that I know that I can go to, and people that I know who've given me some really important information, including sitting in the Oval Office a few weeks ago for 3 hours. I mean, that's some pretty inside information for me. And so the reality is this. Just let them have little bits and pieces of it. I mean, fluoride is a good place to start. I mean, once you take this concrete sarcophagus that's been built around these folks and you put a little tiny crack in it, or you drill a little hole for fresh air for them and they can start seeing or smelling or seeing something different, then all of a sudden they're like, you know, wait a minute, I think I'd like to have you drill me another hole. I'd like to open up my eyes a little bit. But you try to drag them down the rabbit hole the first time you talk to them, and you start talking about, you know, fallen angels and and all of this crazy stuff that it's hard for anybody to believe, even the rest of us who know it's true. I mean, it freaks them out. They don't want to believe any of this stuff. You start talking about how 1 in 40 kids are going to have autism right now, and that by 2025, you know, half the children will have autism. They flip out. So you got to take them one step at a time. And once they start getting a crack in their chink in their armor, you start putting a lot more information. I know back in the 80s, I had a dear friend of mine. His name is Kevin. He's from South Carolina. He owns an alarm company up there. And he started sending me the McIlvaney Intelligence Advisor. And I was right in the middle of all my stuff. I was doing my talk shows. I had my clinic. I was so busy. And this is a written hard copied letter that he basically paid for a subscription for me to get this stuff every single month. And I finally told him after like a year of reading this stuff, I said, I can't deal with this anymore. It's just too negative, dude. I got too much other stuff in my life going on. I'm in my 30s. I don't want to deal with this weird stuff right now. And so I said, you know, don't send me that. And he respected me. He didn't do it. But I knew, because I had read The Unseen Hand, you know, what was going on. And I understood it from a distance. But I didn't really want to go into it any further. And a lot of people are like that. They don't want to do it any further. They're aware of it, but they don't want to be, they're not convicted yet. Then finally after 9/11, and I watched this thing on PBS about the towers coming down, and I thought, that's really stupid. How did Building 7 fall? You know, I'm like, because they don't even address Building 7. And I started thinking, there's just not something that's not right here. So finally I was watching the Olympics that were being held in China. This was years and years ago. And some referee had been hit by one of the wrestlers. He didn't like the call, so the wrestler actually hit the ref. And I clicked on that to read it. And right underneath that, there was a thing, find out what really happened with 9/11 mysteries. And I thought, well, I don't really believe the mainstream narrative, but what do you mean, what really happened? So I clicked on that thing, 9/11 mysteries. It's still online. And I watched this videotape with that slow speed internet where it stopped for every 3 or 4 minutes. It had stopped for 5 minutes. I have to download again. It was awful watching the videos. It was like a 2-hour video. But I watched the whole thing and I thought, this is messed up. All right, this is really messed up. And that was my first exposure to this. And 9/11 is a great way to expose people. Send them that movie, the video, 9/11 Mysteries. Send them the other one from JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. Just send them something. If they watch it, it'll make them start asking a lot of questions. And what 9/11 Mysteries did, it never really accused anybody of anything. It just asked a whole bunch of questions. And the questions didn't have any answers in the 9/11 Commission report. And so I thought, okay, well, something else is going on. Well, this is, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, whenever it was now for me. And so it gradually allowed me to start making deeper and deeper inroads. Now, it was an easy transmission for me because I had already known that we'd been poisoned with glyphosate. I'd already known we'd been poisoned with GMOs. I already knew that we had been poisoned with fluoride and chlorine and immunizations because I've been talking about that in the top 10 foods never to eat since the early 80s. So it wasn't a big shift for me to get into the global politics of what's really going on from a political standpoint. And then I've read hundreds of books and thousands of articles on this stuff. And so now we talk about all of it and we try to tie it together in a really big bulky package with a bow on it. I mean, I can't say it's a nice little neat package because there's so many avenues of this stuff. There's so many spider webs, Austin. It's ridiculous. So it's a giant mess with a huge bow wrapped around it the way we explain it using the scriptures. And that's again why I said to my friend in New England, by the way, thank you for listening to the show, that I can't take that portion out of it because then none of it makes any sense. When you don't realize that there's an extra interdimensional, extraterrestrial, call it whatever you want to, threat to the planet, the Bible talks about it. We now know they're being sighted in all the counties in every single state in the United States, these spaceships or whatever they are. We know there's something else going on. So when you have to tie it all together like that, it finally makes sense. Because what's going on with Donald Trump right now, if you have to look at it from the face value, doesn't make any sense at all, son.
No, it doesn't. There's definitely a lot of very, very strange stuff going on. So, I mean, that's exactly what it is. Also, too, in the car industry news, apparently the March sales were so bad, but April is usually a huge sale month for auto manufacturers because of the rebates and stuff. A lot of auto investors were really looking forward to April auto sales for a sign of hope. Unfortunately, the hope trade failed to marginalize it. Every single major auto OEM missed their April sales estimates in a fairly wild fashion, actually. GM, Ford, Fiat Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, Nissan, Hyundai, VW, all of them were multiple percent points below their targeted sales for April, leaving a significant amount of inventory right now sitting around with a large amount of rebates that are still not moving the products. They said, meanwhile, inventory days are still trending higher as OEMs continue to push products on the dealer lots, even though sales through the end of customers has seemingly stalled. Soaring inventories is now becoming a normal thing. Incentive spending has gone up even further. And as one industry observer noted, the combination of rising inventory levels, higher incentive spending, and pending model changeovers in the coming months, this could imply that the auto industry could unravel in fairly short order, especially when we're looking at the amount of long-term notes that are out on the market right now. This is why I've talked to people before, and be very careful about buying new vehicles, especially going into massive amounts of debt for new vehicles and extending timelines out. I know now I think they go to 72 and also to 84 months on a lot of car notes, which, I mean, you're talking about a 7-year note making your payment very small in a lot of cases. This is very, very risky to do in the event that something happens and a lot of these vehicle values hit the floor, especially on some of these vehicles that have very, very poor resale value. I mean, I know a lot of vehicles like, you know, Cadillacs and other ones like that, you can lose anywhere from 15, 20, 30 grand the first year if you buy it new. You know, you start financing vehicles like that and push it out 6-7 years, you're really going to be in a world of hurt when you go to trade that thing in. And the auto industry is definitely a very, very large bubble that nobody's wanting to talk about. So I kind of want to just bring that up right now and make sure everybody knows what's going on in that realm, Dad.
Well, no, that's exactly right. I mean, a lot of people don't get the fact that the cars that they're buying when they drive them off the lot sometimes have a 30 to 40% depreciation the first year. So if you buy a car that's $70,000 for an automobile, gosh, you could buy a house for that a few years ago, and you drive it off the lot the first year, you have a 40% reduction, you have a 30%, almost $30,000 drop this car's truck's worth $35,000-$40,000 after 1 year, or the vehicle is, and you try to get out of it, or you have a problem with, you have a downturn in your business or your life or whatever, and you don't have the kind of revenue that you can pay those payments anymore, you can't get out of it. Because you owe so much more on that car than it's worth, that if you try to trade out of it, now you got to roll the extra money that you owed on that car into another car, so you get into this giant debt pit. Your grandmother had that happen to her years ago. I'll never forget this, and I'll tell the story because, I mean, she's a great friend. I won't mention her name. But she ended up buying a car. I helped her get a Honda, and then she decided to trade out of the Honda and get a Mitsubishi Eclipse. And the Honda had, you know, she didn't really have any problem with that. She was probably $1,000 back on the Honda. And the car dealer put her into a Mitsubishi Eclipse the year before they changed the body styles. It's back in the 90s. And what ended up happening is, as soon as she drove off the lot with the Mitsubishi Eclipse, she was $10,000 upside down in the vehicle what it was worth immediately, just instantaneously. Well, then she started having some problems with her cash flow and she couldn't afford to keep the car, and it broke down 5 times in 1 year and had to be towed in, left her stranded 5 times. Because it was just a bad, it was lemons what it was. And so rather than taking and turning it back in for a lemon, which she, if she had taken to come to me, I would have had her do that, she ended up, you know, trading it back in on a used Explorer. And the problem was they had the rolling, she had good credit still, so she had, now she was $15,000 upside down on this Mitsubishi. And so the guy made the money on the Explorer, and now she's like $20,000 upside down in the doggone Explorer. I mean, this actually happened to my mother-in-law. And before it's over with, she's bankrupt, filing bankruptcy, you know, Chapter 7, because of this car purchase. So don't believe that can't happen. If you've got a vehicle that's running well, that's still under warranty, or even has an extended warranty on it, or it's a very good running vehicle, you've never had any problems with it, like a Honda or like a Toyota, they run for hundreds of thousands of miles, just keep it rather than going out and spending a bunch of money on a vehicle you don't need to impress your friends who basically don't need to be impressed with the money that you're having to borrow. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I'd rather drive the car for years if I had to and just, you know, run the wheels off of it. I've done that multiple times, and that's just probably the best way to do it. Or buy a car a year old. You know, if you could buy a car that's dropped 30-40% the first year, chances are it won't drop, but maybe 10% the next year. And at that point in time, you're going to be a lot better off. But the way you do that is find a dealer who, or a friend of yours who has a car lot. Just find somebody that can get you what's called an auction report. Manheim has these reports that they publish nationwide. And you could find out what a one-year-old model car is going through the auction for, what the real numbers are on it. So if you buy a car that costs $50,000 and in 1 year it's going through the auction for $28,000, you should be able to buy that car from a dealer for around $28,000, $29,000, $30,000. Now, a lot of times what these dealers will do, they'll mark it back up to $40,000. They do that all the time, guys. And what ends up happening is they're going to make a $10,000 swing. And they've told me at many of the cars that I bought at the lots that their major profits for the dealership are in used car sales, because they can take these cars and buy them for 40% off. They're the only one that has that used car, and so the person either buys it or they don't buy it, and they're able to pick up $10,000, $15,000, sometimes $20,000 in profit on a used vehicle, which is still worth $20,000 less if you try to trade it back in the next day. So that's how that works, guys. So be very careful with your automobile purchase. In fact, I need to do a little CD on that dog. I'm buying an automobile, so I'm pretty good at doing that and getting pretty good prices. But the whole thing about it is if you buy it a year old, sometimes even 2 years old with full warranty on it, chances are you're gonna, at 2 years old, you're gonna get it for 50% most of the time. I know that I've got a friend of mine, he likes to buy those AMG Mercedes, which are ridiculously expensive, but they're really fast and fun to drive. And he always gets them used at about 2 years old. I remember years ago he bought one that was $205,000 new. And the car was 2 years old, full factory warranty, had like 3,000 miles on. He picked it up for $95,000, drove it for a few years, was able to sell it for about what he paid for it. Because he took, let somebody else take that full 50% depreciation for the first 2 years, and that's what most cars will do. They'll drop 50% the first 2 years, son. What's your next story?
Oh, yeah, especially those high-end ones. Also, too, speaking of vehicles, Elon Musk, you know, the CEO of Tesla, is now saying that he wants to start making, because of traffic and it's becoming so bad, he wants to basically create underground tunnels for self-driving cars, a tool through our city with subterranean tunnels only to pop out at your destination on the surface. He says such tunnels will be completely necessary, and namely because you see such a massive increase of numbers of cars on the road. Here's what's going on now, and I knew this was going to be an issue, and I'm glad it's an issue. The only way they're going to be able to get fully autonomous self-driving cars on current interstate systems right now and actually have it function perfect is all the vehicles on the road are going to have to be fully self-driving. To try and interface vehicles that are older models that people are driving with other models that are completely autonomous and self-driving is going to be a logistical nightmare because of trying to pass, pull over, change lanes, all this stuff. It's going to be an issue. They've already seen this. So what he wants to do now is say, we need to make underground tunnels and do this. What's going to happen next, and this is what I've already told you guys, this is more than likely the next step with the self-driving vehicles. They're going to start saying, we need to start phasing out all personal driving vehicles, and we need to start switching over to self-driving vehicles. Not this year, not next year, but in the future, it's something we need to look into because the tunnel system is just going to be too expensive, and we have the existing infrastructure on top right now that we can utilize. Now we have to start banning personal driving vehicles in the future and make them autonomous, self-driving, so we can utilize this incredibly awesome, great, non-traffic inducing, self-driving technology, and all this other old school stuff where you operate your vehicle needs to be banned and pulled off to the side of the road. This is all the steps with the globalists they need to try and enslave us to be able to travel freely, safely, unmolested on our way. Once they have full access and control over your vehicles like they do with self-driving vehicles, there will be nothing you can do, cannot do as far as drive freely. Taxation will go through the roof. Every single aspect of your freedom and security will completely disappear, and it will all go over to this self-driving machine that's going to be able to completely control when and where you go. They already have a lot of stuff with OnStar and all that that can control your vehicles. This is going to be a whole another level. So I think it's funny now he's talking about trying to do underground tunnels for self-driving vehicles. The amount of infrastructure and cost that it would take to do that would be so astronomical, it's not even plausible. Not to mention down below Georgia in the state of Florida where we're at, there's no physical way you could do that because the aquifer is 20 feet below the surface. So that's not even plausible down here in Florida, Deb.
You know, it's interesting to me because I listen to this stuff and I read this stuff and, you know, you're absolutely right. And these autonomous cars, the only thing, see, without, but now remember, all of today's children, the guys that are in high school right now that are all addicted to their iPhones and their iPods and their iPads and their smartphones, they want to stay on their iPhones the whole time. They don't want to drive. They don't care. They're addicted. Their brains are addicted to this constant reinforcement feedback loop of the phone with the flicker rates. So they would just soon not drive. They would just as soon sit in that car and have it drive them somewhere else. They would think it'd be cool. Because that's the programming. The programming is we need self-autonomous cars. We need to stop all these accidents. We need to get all these fast cars off the road. I mean, I remember back in the 70s, we used to have, actually in the 60s, we used to have really fast cars. I mean, they were fast. Not today's standards, but we basically lost all of those all the way through the 70s and through the 80s because of the pollution requirements. And back in the 90s, they started coming back with more and more horsepower. Now they've got Corvette Z06s that come from the factory with 650 horsepower, and the Callaway edition that comes out with 756 horsepower that are 0 to 60 in a little over 2 seconds. And so we have some really incredibly fast cars on the roads again, but these tree huggers don't like those cars. Always remember that. They don't like anything about any of this. They want everybody to be part of the deep state and be controlled by the government. And if the government can come in and do this, they can do this. Now, we have also tunnel boring, nuclear tunnel boring equipment that can move fast. I mean, it can go fast. It can go several miles an hour. And if they were going to use those types of equipment to put tunnels underneath cities for these self-driving cars, they could probably do that, Austin. But it would make more sense to go ahead and use the levitation technology that we have and the anti-gravitation technology that we have that we actually have. We have that technology. The Germans did all that back in the 40s and the 30s. We could actually get them off the streets. And if we allowed the cars to do that, that would make more sense because you take the self-driving cars and you could put them up at 50 feet in the air and just have them drive around. And you could have a little place that you could have a flying car basically. And that to me would be pretty cool anyhow. That'd be kind of nice. but yeah, that's back with the Jetsons back in the 60s. Yeah. But that's the kind of stuff that they actually can do right now. They just don't see. We have a breakaway civilization that has access to that type of technology. They just don't want us to know about it because they're so afraid if they tell us that there's fallen angels you know, in the up around us that everybody's going to flip out and the whole world's going to go to HE double sticks. So they don't want to tell us what these things are doing to us and how they're using us for food. Oh, that's right. I did say that, didn't I? Because that's what the Bible says. That Satan runs about as a roaring lion, seeking those who maybe he may devour. Now, the truth of the matter is this. A lot of the churches who haven't told anybody the truth about what's really going on, their people probably would flip out. Because every time it's just happy, 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 and there's never any change in anybody's lives, and nobody talks about the gospel, then that creates a very subdued sheeple in the church that just basically comply and listen and give and don't ask questions. I know that a lot of people, including the Baptist churches, are now meeting with Trump, and we mentioned this a few weeks ago when Chuck Ball was on, and they're asking Trump not to repeal the Johnson Amendment because they don't want to change the status quo, because they don't want to have to start talking about real issues from the pulpit. You know I'm right, son.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And all this stuff is just theater in front of us to try and make it look like a lot of other things are going on that's not. It's funny because, you know, we've talked on here before about a lot of the stuff that Ivanka and Kushner have gotten so much autonomy and so much control in the White House, it's almost mind-boggling. I mean, even, you know, Donald Trump Jr. has very little autonomy compared to what these guys have, and it looks like another article came out today. I mean, we've seen that her ideology on open borders and globalism is not in the same light with the Donald, and now another article came out today showing his conveniently timed news leak that Ivanka Trump met with Planned Parenthood President Cecil Richards to apparently seek common ground on the issue of abortion. The profile on the first daughter provides more insight into that conversation, including the fact that Ivanka told Richards the organization should just split in two. She said that she wanted to go in and basically propose Planned Parenthood be split in two, having a smaller arm to provide abortions and a large one devoted to women's health services. My whole question is, when in the world did we vote for her to start meeting with abortion providers to do business deals and negotiate why we're still funding Planned Parenthood's abortions indirectly with all this money we give them every month? I don't remember her name being on a ballot. I sure as heck don't remember her husband's name being on a ballot. But these guys have been given so much stinking autonomy, it's boggling my mind right now. And most of the people aren't even realizing what's going on. But people, you got to look at what's going on with this man. I mean, you got his daughter and her husband. He's not even blood, who have literally open checks almost to anything they want in the White House, and they're completely unelected officials. You have Trump Jr., who's actually been pretty successful in business and a lot of business dealings. He even has worked with Silencer Co. and trying to fund to get the Hearing Act taken care of, the deregulated suppressors. You don't hear anything about that. He's not getting any autonomy with that. Yet Ivanka gets to go meet with Planned Parenthood president and say, hey, we need to do this with Planned Parenthood. We need to do that with Planned Parenthood. What is going on, Dad? I think what we called it out a couple months ago with Kushner and her, I think this stuff is really accurate as far as these guys are pretty much doing exactly what they want in the White House.
We called it in February. I mean, a month after the inauguration, we were the first national talk show that called this out. And I got criticized by a bunch of my alternative talk show hosts. In fact, screamed at by one local TV evangelist to stop it. And today it was so funny. You bring this up today. I had another article come in on her today, and everybody now is saying what we said back in February. Now it's May. And it was that March, April, that 3 months later. We called it out months ago. If you guys were listening to our show, because Chuck Baldwin called them out first. He's the one who called them out first back in February. I looked at his research. I pulled up my own research. I started doing cross-referencing on the research, getting multiple sources, and I thought, shoot, Chuck's right again, and this is not good. This is going to go bad, and that's exactly what it's done. It's gone bad, very, very bad. Remember, Ivanka and Jared Kushner are members of the Shabbat Jewish cult, which is linked in the Kabbalah and the Mossad. They're also super staunch Democrats, hardcore abortionists, hardcore Democrats, and we did not vote hardcore Democrats into the White House. I mean, this budget that just got passed, Hillary Clinton couldn't have passed a better budget for her own usage right now. I mean, it's what we did not want is what we are getting, because the deep state reared its ugly, nasty, satanic lizard head and said, hey, we're going to do what we want to do. Trump's our boy. And that's what they've done. You say, well, you know, and so you think, well, Trump tried to kick against it a little bit to start with, and he did. He tried to get the doggone immigration stuff stopped. He passed the executive orders. I mean, the first couple of weeks in the White House, he was, man, he's put down executive orders. And then the judiciary showed him, hey, no, 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 little boy, we're not going to let you do that. We're going to say all of these things are illegal. You're not allowed to do any of this stuff. And since then, they pretty much put him in a big, you know, bucket and said, now we're going to do exactly what we want to do with you, like we've done with all the other presidents. By the way, Apple Industries has more cash than the United Kingdom and Canada combined. The firm is set to reveal its quarterly financial results and reveals that it has more of a quarter of a trillion dollars in cash and financial reserves. Keeping the money offshore has allowed Apple to avoid the 35% U.S. corporate tax. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. The firm has been able to avoid U.S. corporate taxes by keeping nearly 93% of its quarter of a trillion dollars in cash offshore, and this is how they've been able to keep from paying income tax on all of this money. I will say one thing. Steve Jobs had some serious issues from a morality standpoint, but that boy could put a company together, and I'm sure that the CIA and a bunch of these secret organizations were right in the middle of putting this thing together with him. But the reality is this. They make really good products, but they pretty have much have CIA malware written directly into the software program so that they're easier to track. No, it's true. You know it's true. And it's written right into the hard drives, and so there's no way to get it out if you try to, because it reboots itself and it all comes back right back in again. And that was shown by Snowden, and he actually talked about that, and so did Julian Assange, that this stuff comes in basically with malware attached to it to track you, because, you know, it's your slave tracking device, and everybody likes to use them. But guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting us. I want to thank you so much for listening to the show today. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. You know, when you guys get your multiple vitamins from us, and your B vitamins and your cod liver oil and all the things that so many of you buy, it means so much to us. And even when you just spend $25 a month and you get multiple vitamins from us, it supports the show. I want to thank you for the way that you guys have answered that clarion call in just huge numbers to support the Ted and Austin Brower Talk Show. I want you to know something. I appreciate you guys, and I love you. And you know one thing about us is we're not politically correct. And I mean, I don't even care about talking about the fallen angels and spaceships anymore. Who cares? It's all real anyhow, so trying to pretend like it's not out there and just like saying that they're not spraying chemtrails on us. So you're going to hear the truth from us, whether you know you really agree with all of it or not. It doesn't really make any difference. Just if you don't agree with it, thank you for listening to the parts that you do agree, and do the research on the rest of it. And if I'm wrong, like we did the other day, you know, I straight put out a retraction. So he said, hey, you're wrong about, you know, about Fred Bell being the brother of Art Bell. And, you know, you need to check that out. And I did. I called up the doggone daughter of Fred Bell and we spoke. And by the way, she wants to come on the show now and talk about how her father had this mysterious death. But she's like 8-9 months pregnant. So I asked her to go ahead and wait until after the baby was born so she wouldn't have a bunch of stress on her system by doing all of this talk show. We're going to bring her on too. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you a lot. I love you. I thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. The show's yours, Austin. I'll write up a summary.
Got it. Yeah, so $250 billion back to Apple. I mean, which I can't really blame them for skirting on that, because I have absolutely zero respect for the IRS at all. But that's roughly almost $90 billion they would owe in federal income tax on that amount. Significant amount of money, but those guys, of course, you notice IRS doesn't go after them. They don't try and do anything with them. They don't audit them. There's none of that with them because they work with the CIA. You let a privately owned company that basically goes in and makes a significant amount of money try and hold earnings like that offshore, IRS is all over them instantaneously trying to find some type of loophole or law written that they can go after them on. That's the whole thing with the IRS. They have so many codes, so many statutes, so many laws that if they really, 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 really want to hit you for something, they can figure out a way to do so. That's the way the Federal Reserve knew they had to keep it in order to keep everybody under control. That is why one of the biggest things we have to do is take a hold of the Federal Reserve, abolish the IRS, as Ron Paul has said numerous times, and Rand Paul, and audit the Federal Reserve and show the American population that has been pretty much one of the biggest monetary scams in human history on a civilization for the past 100 years. pretty wild stuff. So we appreciate everything, guys. As Dad said, thank you for the support. Thank you for buying Just Multiples. The multiple powder that was on sales product of the week, that was a huge, huge sale last week. A lot of people tried it out. Again, a lot of emails. And then there was also a lot of people that just wanted to stick with our standard Ultimate Multiple in the capsule form. That's also awesome. Just buying a bottle of multiple from us like that once a month really helps to support the show and keep everything rolling, as it's not free to do this, and we will not and have not done any advertisements whatsoever on this show. We don't have pop-ups. We don't have commercials. There's nothing on our website. You know, we're completely self-funded. I guess you could say Health Master sponsors this, but, I mean, that's our family company. That's what we do here. So if you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. And, yes, the product of the week that won is the Immune Support DF. That was the formula that you guys voted for. It won last night, so we put it on. That's our new formula that's basically based off the hyperimmune chicken egg. This stuff is really, really good. It's a dairy-free source of immunoglobulins and immune cofactors that really support the immune function in the intestine environment. It's different than probiotics, but it has a similar effect on really boosting the immune system on this. This is something that you can take with or without probiotics, and it still yields very, very strong positive benefits. There's been multiple research studies on this that has shown that as far as sports recovery, helping with free radicals, helping to keep the colon as far as healthy and digestion really, really good. The Immune Support DF does a great job with that. If you really are trying to keep your immune system up, stack this product with the D3, the Ultimate D3 10,000, and also the Excellent C. Those three together are a really good combination. But the Immune Support DF, we went ahead and put that on sale for over 15% off this week. And of course, as always, go on the website and check out all the other products that we've put on sale that you can vote on, and that'll win next week as well. But as always, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for the emails. We're answering all of them this week. We're getting everything caught up. And if you guys need anything, call us 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a safe, blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.